We are so excited that this latest message from Truth Moving Church can meet you where you are today. This message from TMC will help you to apply the truth of God's word to your everyday life. It's practical and powerful. Enjoy His word.
Luke chapter 19. Shout, I got it when you get there. Oh no, come on y'all. Luke 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 28, New King James, if you have it. Shout, I got it. All right, here we go. I'll read for you. When he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near Bethage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, everybody shout two, saying, go into the village opposite you, whereas you enter, you will find a colt tied. A colt tied is a donkey, a young donkey, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. I'm going to try that. I'm going to go out here in one of these nice BMWs that's parked out here. And I'm just going to grab the keys and tell them the Lord has need of it and see what happens. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Verse 37. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones, somebody shout the stones, would immediately cry out. Our topic for discussion today is the phrase public transportation. Say that with me, public transportation. Well, Pastor Wanzo, what does that have to do with the text we just read? The next slide will tell you. Public transportation is this: Jesus must go public, and you are the transportation. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Jesus must go public, and you are the transportation. Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, you are my second choice, but nonetheless, Jesus must go public, and you are the transportation. Say this with me: Jesus, the Word made flesh, the Logos Word of God, must go public, and you are. And you are the transportation. Let's do a little contextual work before we unpack the content. The passage of scripture we just read details Palm Sunday. It's the beginning of Holy Week. It is 7 days before the resurrection. Palm Sunday, this Sunday, is the beginning of the end of Jesus' physical ministry here on earth. Jesus had been ministering publicly for about 3 years. Everybody shout 3 years. 3 years. He was preaching. He was healing the sick. He was raising the dead. He was making the blind see. He was doing all sorts of miracles for about 3 years. He was doing all of these things publicly. But one thing that he never did publicly was profess clearly that he was the Messiah. He never professed publicly that he was the Messiah. He was the Christos. He was the Christ. He was the Savior of the world. He was the Son of God. He made honorable mention of it. He may have spoken about it in some parables, but he was never real clear about it. He never really truly like posted a picture on Instagram. He might have put it in his story, but he didn't put a picture on Instagram so everybody could see it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, it was on your story, but I didn't catch it. Yeah, Jesus was doing that in regards to his position as the Messiah. He would oftentimes heal people and do miracles in front of people, and he would tell them, don't tell nobody about that. When people would get a revelation of Jesus, he would tell them, don't tell nobody that you know exactly who I am. There was one time at Jesus' most public miracle where he fed 15,000 people. If you include the women and children, there's 15,000 people. He feeds 15,000 people with two fish, five loaves of bread. After he performs this very public miracle, the text says in John chapter 6 that he hides up in the mountain. He goes up in the mountain and he hides himself because he perceived that people were going to force him to be king. They was going to make Jesus be king before his time. They were going to claim him and crown him the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the one that we've been waiting on before his time. And this was the problem for Jesus. Because Jesus understood, watch this now, Jesus understood that being crowned the Messiah publicly meant that he would have to be the Savior publicly. Y'all missed that one. For God the Father, in his eyes, the Messiah and the Savior were synonymous. They're all in one person. So if Jesus, you're going to start proclaiming that you're the Messiah publicly, then you're going to have to prove publicly that you are the Savior. So that is the reason why, listen to me, y'all, because I'm teaching you real good already. That is the reason why that Palm Sunday is so important to the resurrection narrative, because Palm Sunday is the Sunday that Jesus said, I'm going public. Oh, I'll give it to you in 21st century vernacular. This is the Sunday that Jesus says, I'm here for all the smoke. Yeah. So my mind starts to work on this text, and I'm thinking to myself, Jesus, the one who could do anything, the one that can heal the sick, raise the dead, is getting ready to go public. And he turns to his disciples. He says, boys, I'm getting ready to do this thing. It's about time. And he says, before I do it, though, I need one thing. Jesus, who could do anything, he could walk on water. He turns to his disciples and says, fellas, I need a ride. Listen to me now. In order for the word of God to go public, in order for the world to see Jesus as the Messiah, as the Savior, it needs a mode of transportation. Oh, gosh, we are that mode of transportation. You see what I'm saying? Jesus said to his boys, he said, listen to me, God, in order for me to go public for the world to see me as who I am, I need transportation. As a matter of fact, I need public transportation. I saw a few things in the text. I saw three movements in the text. Or better yet, three commands in the text that I want us to look at that I think apply to the 21st century church. You want to work a little bit? Is this too much already? Y'all dying fast. Let's work a little bit. Let's go to verse 30. Saying, go into the village opposite you, whereas you will enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. I'm calling them movements because there's, to me, movements in the text, but these are three commands that Jesus gives, and what people say is one command, he gives three. The first command, he says, is to go get them. Everybody shout, go get them. Jesus has clearly identified and determined his transportation that's going to take him public. But what I thought was interesting, that Jesus himself doesn't go get the transportation. He sends his disciples. Jesus, who walked everywhere, I don't know where you saw in text that he's ever gotten a ride anyplace. Jesus didn't mind walking. Instead of him going to get the transportation that he said that he needed, he sends his disciples for him. God knows exactly who he wants to use. He knows exactly where they are. He knows exactly what he wants them to do, but he needs for you to go get them. He needs for you to go get them. God himself ain't going to come get them. He says, I need my disciples to go take care of this for me. And as a matter of fact, I know exactly where they are. I know exactly what they're into. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to be honest with you, the disciples. They may not be your choice. Jesus says, I've chosen one that's, you can see it in the text. Jesus says, I chose one that's tied up. When you find him, when you find it, it will be tied up. Out of all of the donkeys Jesus could have chosen for this specific task, he finds one in the region that's tied up. I promise you there were some free donkeys walking around that Jesus could have grabbed. But Jesus says, no, baby, I want that one over there that's tied up. I want that one that's entangled a little bit. I want that one that's dealing with some stuff that they can't get out of yet. I want the one that's trying to get out of it, but they can't get out of it. I want the one that's tied up. Doesn't it boggle your mind the people that Jesus chooses to use? Wow. Jesus, you could have got a free donkey. But he doesn't work like that. Oh, I got some text. I got scripture. Let's go to the book of Acts. Chapter 9. I'll read for you. Put it up on the screen. Y'all know this story. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarshish. His name is Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him in a vision a man named Ananias coming and laying his hands on him so he can see again. Watch Ananias' response. But Lord, he exclaimed, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by leading the priests to arrest everyone who calls upon you. Lord, are you sure this is the guy that you want me to go talk to? He's not my kind of dude, Lord. We don't vibe like that, Jesus. How often have you said to God, how often have you known that it was the Spirit of God unctioning you, the Holy Spirit saying, go talk to them, invite them to church, invite them over your house, go out to coffee with them, and you say, I don't know them like that. We can find every reason under the sun not to do what God is calling us to do, but watch this, watch what Ananias does. Verse 15. No, let's go to verse 13. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to believers in Jerusalem, and he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, watch him. Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. I will take care of the stuff that he's done. I will deal with him. You just go make sure you invite him. You go make sure that you bring him into my presence. You make sure you go get him. I'll deal with Saul. You go make sure you go get him. Can you trust God for that? Can you trust that God is going to deal with them and not you? I don't want them in my circle like that, Pastor Momsell. They don't need to be in my group like that. Why? So watch. Verse 15. The Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument, to take my message to the Gentiles and kings, as well as to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul. He wasn't a brother 5 minutes ago. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, he has sent me that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Watch this next. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days, and immediately, he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is indeed the Son God. So watch. We like playing what if in my house. Y'all play what if at your house? You know what I'm talking about? No. Like, what if you got $1 million for, y'all don't play that? Do you play it or not? Raise your hand. Okay. Let's play what if. Let's play what if that Ananias did not go and get Saul. You would be missing at least 13 books of the New Testament. There would be 8 churches that would have never gotten planted if Ananias would have not went to go get Saul. I don't care what you think about them. I don't care what they've gotten themselves into, because believe me, they want to get out. And here's the amazing thing. They will find out that the Lord has need for them once you show up. They're stuck to it right now, and they don't know that God still has a plan for the, oh God, God still has a plan for the life. But they need for you to show up and say, hey, listen, God has need for you. He has better for you. The donkey didn't know that Jesus wanted him until the disciple showed up. So here's my question. Who's not walking in their calling because of you? Which family member is not walking in their calling? Which Walmart associate is not walking in their calling? Which coworker is not walking in their calling because you failed to go get them? Today was supposed to be like embrace and be cool and be straight. But who's missing? Who was supposed to be here today that you did not invite? Okay. I got more. I'm going to keep going. Let's go to verse 30. Saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tie on which no one has ever sat. Loose it. Bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. Command number 2 that Jesus gives his disciples is to loose them. Y'all getting nervous? Jesus says to his disciples, I've chosen the means, the vehicle that I want to use that's going to take me public. And I need for you to go get it. But just as an FYI, when you get there, he's going to be bound up. He's going to be bound to something that he cannot loose himself from. So when you get there, I'm expecting you to help him get loose. I'm not sending you there to be judgmental of their situation. I'm not sending you there to critique what they got going on. The only reason I'm sending you there is to loose him. Somebody shout, loose him. Can I talk to you for just 1 second? We know people, because we're all family. We know people who are bound by addiction, bound by anxiety, bound by lust, bound by anger, bound by culture. And we haven't done anything about it. Jesus says the entire reason why I am sending you is to loose them. Somebody shout, loose them. Loose them. Mm. Jesus says, listen, and this is the thing that we do that cracks me up. We have family members. I'm going to bring it home to everybody. We have family members that we say we just don't mess with. I'm going to say it to this side because y'all more on the side. We have family members. I'm just bringing it home. I'm talking about Pastor Wanzel too. I'm not calling you out. I'm talking about me too. We have family members. We have friends. We have people all around us that we say, that's a job for Jesus. Am I being honest? But I want you to pay attention to the text. Jesus tells his disciples, it's not a job for me because I sent you. Loosing them is your responsibility. Oh. Jesus says, it's not a job for me. It's a job for you. Because I sent you to them to help free them. It's getting thick in here now. Watch. So Pastor Wanzo, what are you saying? What are you getting at? Here's the reason why. Jesus sent them to loose him because Jesus had given them the authority to do so. He gave them the authority. Listen to what he said. Jesus says, listen, when you show up, he's going to be bound. He's going to be bound. And then the owner of the donkey is going to say to you, why are you trying to loose him? The Lord has need of it. Oh, gosh, y'all. There are people in your life that you need to start speaking over. There are people in your life that you need to start praying for. There are people in your life that need to know that they are in need, that Jesus has need for them in the kingdom. But the only way that you can get them to where God wants them to be is if you're willing to stand in the gap and loose them. Pastor Juan said, what are you talking about loose? They're bound to something. Listen to me. They're bound to something that they can't get themselves out of. They can't get out of that alcohol. They can't stop smoking weed. They can't stop blood. They can't stop. And they want to stop. But Jesus said, I'm sending you to loose them. Pastor Juan said, that's a big task. What are you saying, Pastor Juan? This is spiritual stuff. Yeah, it is a spiritual thing. But here's the thing. And this is the beautiful thing about it. It looks bad. But it ain't that bad. You look at these, your family members and say, that's a job for Jesus. They ain't getting out of that. They keep going back to it. They're addicted to this. They're addicted to that. And it looks real bad, but it's not as bad as it looks. And here's the reason why. Listen to what Jesus says. Before he says loose them, he says that you're going to find a coat that's tied up. He has never been sat on. Am I have to teach the whole text? I got to do everything? Okay. I've become a professional in cattle. I have. Because I watched a lot of episodes of Yellowstone. And I know a lot about cattle. There was an episode of this dude, Jimmy. Y'all remember Jimmy? Raise your hand, you remember Jimmy, the one that wasn't that bright. And they would put him on a horse that they needed to break. Listen to me now. Jesus says he has never been sat on, but the way that you break the spirit of a thing is you sit on it and make it submit to your will. Oh, gosh, I'm getting too heavy for y'all this morning. Jesus says, listen to me, y'all. He is being groomed for something else. He is in the possession of something else, but that thing is not yet the authority. You can walk in and loose the thing because I've given you authority over it. Watch what I'm telling you. The disciples walk up and they say, hey, listen, I need it. And they say, why? And they say, the Lord has need of it. His name has the authority. You want to loose them under your power? You're going to loose them under the authority of... I'm going to listen to this podcast myself. Somebody shout, loose him. I know it looks bad, but the enemy hasn't taken their will yet. Because the people we're talking about, they want to stop. They want to quit. When you step to them and ask them, why did you do it? And they run down in tears and I just want to stop. That is them speaking from their soul to say, I don't know what I'm bound to, but I want to get away from it. And I'm telling you, that thing that has them bound right now, that thing that has them possessed right now, does not have the authority yet. And all you got to do is speak. Ooh, I'll give you an example. I had a family member strung out on drugs. My family tends to do this thing where they come to me with all the problems. Anybody in the building like that? So they tell me, hey, your family member has gone missing for 3-4 days. They took the car. We can't find them. Now, I'm in Syracuse visiting. I ain't, at this time in my life, I'd have been in Orlando for 10 years, so I ain't even from here no more. I don't even know these people anymore. But they tell me, they took the car. We ain't seen them. So, okay. Now, have you anybody been to Syracuse, New York? There's a couple people in the building. It's the hood, baby. He said, oh, gosh. So I get in my car, and I start driving the city. And I get up to this space we call Hilltop. And I see the car that belongs to my family member. Now, I don't know these people. I don't know them. But I walk up to the dude, and like, yo, that's my car. It's your car. That's mine, bro. I got to have it. Where's the dude that was driving this car? I don't know where he at. He might be in that building over there. All right, I need these keys. He handed me the keys. Now, I may have something to do with my 6'5" stature, almost 300 pounds. You know, I don't even know. Listen to me now. But when you're working under the unctioning of the Holy Spirit, give me those keys. So watch. He might be in that building over there. I went up 5 or 6 floors, knocking on every door. Knocking on the door. Come to this one door. They open the door. I see him sitting right in front of me. I said, listen, I don't know what y'all are doing up in here, but I need him. He got to come with me. Y'all ain't heard me. These people don't know me from Adam. They don't know me. As a matter of fact, he was so high, he didn't know me. But when I came and I spoke under the unctioning of the Holy Spirit, it don't matter what got him bound. If I work under his unctioning, if the Holy Spirit is in me, somebody shout, loose him. You see, that should be your prayer for your children. I'm talking about the ones that's caught up in some stuff that just won't leave that thing alone. That just won't. They just love the lifestyle. They just love the culture, and they keep giving themselves to it. They're bound by it. And I can promise you, if you sat down and had a conversation with them, they would want to walk away, but they can't because they're possessed by it. It's got them bound. But what I'm telling you, if you are a servant of the High King, you can speak to a thing, and it has to stop. Somebody shout, loosen. Let me get this last point. Go back to verse 30. Let's go, Jordan. Verse 30. Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way, found it just as he said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owner of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? Oh, gosh. Y'all, I could get, okay. And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus. And they threw their own clothes around the colt. And they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Our last and final thought for today, the last movement in the text, is the phrase, bring them here. Somebody shall bring him here. If I had one critique of the 21st century Christian, my critique would be that we don't finish. We're terrible finishers. We'll start the year all hot and heavy, on fire for Jesus. But we don't finish. If I had a microphone that could reach the entire church, all Christians, I tell him, you got to finish. Stop starting and stopping. Finish. And that's what we find here in the text, because Jesus was very intentional with his words, because it was his moment and it had to be finished. This was his transportation. This was his moment. This was when he was going public. So this thing had to work. And he gives the disciples three commands. One, I want you to go get it. Two, I want you to loose it. And three, bring it here. We don't have a problem with bringing people to church. We struggle bringing people to Jesus. To me, Jesus was a bit redundant. I didn't think he needed to say bring it. The entire purpose of me going to get it was to bring it back to you. But oftentimes we will go and never come back. We will go and we will make them all better. We will be their friend. We will befriend them, and we will get in the trenches with them, and things will start getting better for them. And then when things start going south, we wonder why. And the reason why is because you never brought them back to Jesus. The entire assignment was for them to bring the colt back to Jesus. We don't have a struggle with inviting people to church. We don't have a struggle jumping in things with people. We don't have, listen to me, Jesus didn't send them down there to make that colt better. He didn't. He sent them down there to bring the colt back. So the question is, I was asking myself, well, Pastor Wanzo, how are you going to tell them, what's the stamp to know that you've brought them back to Jesus? Oh, gosh. I got to take a right because I was almost finished, but it jumped in my spirit. Do you remember when the Father brought his son to Jesus? His son was being tossed and turned by spirits. He was thrown in the water, then thrown in the fire. And Jesus was up on the mountain being transfigured, but when he comes down to the bottom of the mountain, he sees this mess happening down at the mountain, at the bottom of the mountain, and he says, well, y'all, what's going on? And the Father speaks up. He says, listen, I brought my son, and your disciples couldn't fix him. If I was there preaching this message, I would say, sir, it ain't the disciples' fault. That's your fault. Because you brought him to church. You were supposed to be bringing them to Jesus. So Jesus says to them, bring the boy. Oh, God, y'all, bring the boy. You see, oh, God, so let's go back to text. When we bring them to Jesus, that's when we go get them. We get them loose and we bring them to Jesus. How do we know that we brought them to Jesus? When they start to bear the word of God. When they start to carry the word of God into the world, when they start to present to the world Jesus as the Savior of the world, that is how you know that you've brought them back to Jesus. Because Jesus, the only reason Jesus wanted the colt in the first place was for the colt to carry him. Is there anybody in the building carrying the word of God? Look at your neighbor and tell him that Jesus needs a ride. Jesus says, the only reason why I asked for you in the first place, the reason why I need you, I need a ride. I need a ride. So listen. The proof isn't if they get better. The proof is if they walk in their calling. Because Jesus called for the colt. Because I need it to help me go public. I wonder if there's people in the room today that know you're supposed to be transportation. I know that you're doing some other things in your life right now. I know you were clubbing last night. It's okay. I have no judgment for you. But what I'm trying to tell you is that, listen to me, you're here. There is no need to miss Jesus if you're here. Because it is in this day and age, it is still the 21st century, and he is still looking for public transportation. The best thing that I ever did in my life, the best thing. Marrying Pastor Tina was pretty good. It was good. She'd be a close second. But the best thing I ever did in my life was say, Lord, here I am. Best decision I ever made. Not just being around Jesus. I said, Jesus, you could use me. You see, because there is no way that I thought a preacher was tied up in Wanzel Underwood out of Syracuse, New York, 522 West Colvin Street, south side of Syracuse, New York. Did you ever think? I would have never thunk it. But God sent some disciples my way. And they told me that God got need for you. And I decided to carry his word. Stand to your feet.
Thank you for streaming the latest message from Truth Movement Church. We pray that you found something in God's word that you can deposit into your heart for future use. To stay connected with our ministry, like us on Facebook or Instagram, or learn more about us by visiting www.truthmovementchurch.org.